Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi, Paschyatya Deshatarini, Trinadda Pisunichena, Tarar Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gatir Anyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This reading is part 6 of chapter 1 of the first section of 3 from the Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Srila Sanatan Goswami. This is entitled Priyatama, the Most Beloved. Sri Parikshit said, O noble mother, after hearing Ugrasena's advice, Narada, the dear devotee of Lord Mahavishnu, became absorbed in the taste of exalted love of God. That love of God seized him in its grip. Forgetting everything else, Narada started off, Veena in hand. Having spent much time before in Dwaraka, Narada automatically took the familiar roads to the center of the city. These were amazing roads that led to the neighborhood where the Lord's palaces existed. Then he came to a place of Krishna's that he knew how to reach from earlier visits. Under the spell of intense transcendental agitation, Narada seemed like an ordinary person haunted by a ghost. Sometimes he tripped and fell to the ground. Sometimes he stood motionless. Sometimes his body trembled, or else he rolled on the ground, or he wept in great distress. Narada sometimes shouted and jumped about, sometimes sang and sometimes danced. Sometimes all the transformations of priceless love of God converged in him at once. Parikshit continued, My dear mother, please now be fully attentive. Listen soberly with steadied concentration to what I'm about to say. That day, Lord Krishna was for some reason disturbed in mind, and he was asleep in the inner quarters. Uddhava had left him and sat down nearby on a terrace at the edge of the palace. There Uddhava was joined by Baladev, Devaki and Rohini, and the queens of Krishna such as Rukmini and Satyabhama, and as well as various maidservants and other ladies, including Kamsa's mother, Padmavati. Padmavati was a lady who had the habit of making public gossip out of Krishna's personal affairs. All of them sat there silent in shock. They saw that Sri Narada had arrived and that he was acting strangely. Standing up, they brought him carefully to where they had been sitting. They took a moment to restore him to a condition closer to normal and then wiped dry his face, which was wet with tears of love of God. Then they spoke to him simply and gently. They said, We have never seen you behave like this before. What is this sudden change in you, dear Brahmana? Please sit here quietly for a moment. Sri Parikshit said. Narada replied in a choking voice, tears flowing from his eyes. As he began to speak, he opened his eyes with difficulty and bowed down to offer respects. He was trembling, and the hairs on his body stood erect. Sri Narada then said, "Please arrange for me to meet with Uddhava, for he is the only true object of exquisite good fortune. Or else, let me have from Uddhava's feet one particle of dust. That alone will my heart be at peace." Uddhava has received an abundance of our Lord's mercy, never gained by the Lord's other servants in the past or even now. Because Uddhava is the greatest of all Vaishnavas, the Lord himself calls Uddhava one of his own special expansions. No one has ever been as dear to the Lord, neither the Lord's direct sons like my father, Lord Brahma, nor friends like Lord Shiva, nor brothers like Balaram, nor the goddess Rama, or the Lord's other wives. Why, not even the Lord's own unique transcendental body is as dear to him. The Supreme Lord's own words, disclosed in the Puranas, tell the abounding glories of Uddhava's good fortune. Those words, born of Sri Krishna's causeless mercy, are unlike any others heard in this world. The Yadava heroes now tell those words in songs. Alas, when those words entered the home of my heart through the gateway of my ears, they steal away all my wealth of sobriety. Sri Parikshit said, impelled by great respect for Narada, Uddhava suddenly stood up. He held Narada's feet and embraced them. Aware of what Narada was thinking, Uddhava remembered many devotees who had received the Lord's special favor. As Uddhava meditated on those devotees, their love for the Lord and their wealth of loving ecstasies, Uddhava felt distress, thinking himself fallen, and he cried helplessly. Only with some effort was he able to regain his composure. Then he became joyful and spoke to the sage, moved by the sattvaka emotion of jealousy. Sriman Uddhava then said, "O Mighty One, knower of everything, O most truthful speaker, O greatest of sages, you are the master who teaches the means and the end of bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. All that you just said about me and more is self-evident. I knew it was true before you said it, and so did others. What I saw on my recent trip to Vraja took my pride in my special good fortune and suddenly crushed it to dust. Since then, I have understood the amazing sweetness of Krishna's mercy, of love for him, and of those who possess that love. By what I just saw in Vraja, I came to be most blessed. I was swept away in an ocean of ecstasy, thinking myself completely favored by the Lord, a recipient of his most extreme mercy. Everyone here knows very well what I then sang in my ecstasy, what desires I had, and what I had did. Better for now not to speak on those matters further. O best of sages, I bow down to you again and again. I beseech you, please curb your eagerness to relish those various affairs. Sri Parikshit said, because Mother Rohini had long lived in Gokula, its residents held her in high regard. She knew the inner meaning of Uddhava's words, and so with tears in her eyes, she decided to speak. Sri Rohini then said, alas, dear servant of Sri Hari, the residents of Vraja have by evil fate all been slain. They have lost the last trace of good fortune, and they are now drowning in an ocean of gloom. It is there that they suffer, poisoned and scorched in the flames of an underwater fire. So please, do not destroy my moment of happiness by reminding me of them. When Sri Vasudev brought me back from Gokula, the cries of the greatly distraught Yashoda made even stones shed tears, and lightning bolts shattered. And who can let the mouth speak about the other women of Vraja, who after Krishna left them, became like living corpses? But I am not very intelligent. Oh, Uddhava, after your Lord returned from the house of his spiritual master, my sadness drove me to tell him briefly how the Vrajavasis were faring. But this did not soften his heart, since all he did in response was send you, Uddhava, as an expert in the clever art of delivering messages. Is this your Lord's greatest favor and mercy on them, as your words imply? My own experience is this. When Krishna lived in Vraja, so many calamities threatened to destroy it. Vraja was disturbed by demons, from Putana to Keshi, by demigods like Varuna and Indra, by creatures like the python, and by the falling of familiar things at Krishna's house, like the cart and the twin Arjuna trees. But to these dangers, the residents paid no regard. As if entranced in each event, they wanted only to assure Krishna's welfare. They never thought about themselves. In natural fondness for the son of Nanda, they fully dedicated everything. They dedicated whatever they owned to his pleasure. Even then, your Lord did nothing to help them. And who could bear to hear me say what he has been doing now to accomplish the goal of his other devotees? Sri Parikshit said, upon hearing this, the mother of the wicked Kamsa spoke out, her head shaking, her manner bold, her judgment spoiled by old age. Padmavati said, just see, since childhood our Krishna has stayed in the forest full of thorns to guard the cows of those merciless cowherders. They never even gave him shoes. And if, when tormented by hunger, he sometimes ate a little stuff made from the milk, The cowherder women punished him by tying him up. And they scolded him abusively. Because he was young, Krishna had no choice but to tolerate all this pain. But what does he have to do for these people now? Sri Parikshit said, Rohini, the darling of Vraja, was fully endowed with the gravity of wisdom. Ignoring Padmavati's remarks, she went on speaking from where she had left off. Sri Rohini then said, Then Krishna went to Sri Mathura, the capital of the Yadus. He killed many enemies, relaxed for a while, and became king of the rulers of kings. Now, honored by countless demigods, whom he has sometimes defeated and he sometimes helped, this lord of yours no longer thinks about the residents of Vraja. Sri Parikshit said, Krishna's dear queen Rukmini, the daughter of Bhishmaka, who always lived in Krishna's heart, found these words unbearable, and so she spoke up. Sri Rukmini then said, My dear mother, you don't understand the inner feelings of Krishna at all. His heart is softer than newly churned butter. Why are you saying all these things? Just hear from me what I have heard. Sometimes at night, Krishna says this and that in his sleep. Sometimes in a most sweet voice, he utters names as if calling his cows. Sometimes he calls his girlfriends or some of the cowherd boys. And sometimes while asleep, he acts as if he were placing his flute to his mouth, and he assumes his enchanting threefold bending form. While asleep, he sometimes says, Mother, give me some fresh butter. Sometimes he calls out to me, Oh, Sri Radha. Or else he says, Oh, Lalita. Sometimes he pulls on my garment and asks me, Chandravali, what are you doing? Sometimes he drenches the pillow on his bed with flood of tears. Then at times, he suddenly wakes up, rises from bed, and cries in a pitiful voice, drowning us in an ocean of pain and grief. Why, just last night, he must have seen something in a dream, because today he has been weeping sorrowfully and is beside himself with agitation. Now he is lying in bed as if asleep, his cloth pulled over his head. Why, he has not even performed his morning duties. Sri Parikshit said, Then, temperamental Satyabhama, surrounded by other wives, answered back in jealous anger. She said, My dear Sri Rukmini, why are you prattling on like this? Why are you speaking rapidly and incessantly about unimportant matters? Why talk only about what he does while asleep? Even while active and awake, he seems to have his mind on something else. As if he were dreaming. Indeed, we are his wives only in name. His young cowherd maidservants are in fact more dear to him than we are. Sri Parikshit then said, Blessed Baladev, the darling son of Rohini, an intimate friend of all of Gokula, could not tolerate hearing these words. Angrily, he spoke in reply. Sri Baladev then said, Dear ladies, all this is nothing but my brother's clever deception. We are intent upon speaking about the misery of the residents of Vraja, misery all too real, and he is simply cheating us. I myself stayed there in Vraja for 2 months and tried to restore the Vrajavasis to normal, but nothing I said or did was of any avail. Seeing no other way to achieve my purpose, I made hundreds of promises to them and with great effort finally consoled them to some extent. Then I managed to pull myself away and hurried back here. I anxiously requested, Krishna, please find some excuse to go to your cowherd village just once and save the lives of the people there. From his mouth, Krishna said, Certainly I shall go. But in his heart, he thought otherwise. Indeed, the truth about a person's mind can be known from how one acts. Sri Parikshit said, Hearing this, the personality of Godhead, who is ruled by the love of those dear to him, suddenly got up from his bed and came outside, loudly weeping. From his fully blossoming lotus eyes rained a flood of tears. With a choking voice, tormented by compassion for others, Krishna spoke as follows. Yes, it is true. My heart is made of silent, solid diamond. It must be so, because it is not yet split in half. Those devotees took care of me for so long, from the very beginning of my childhood, and still I have forgotten all about their exceptional love. Be that as it may, I must somehow do something to help them. I have indeed been cruel to have caused those gentle souls such extreme grief. Oh, Brother Uddhava, you know everything, and you are the best of my dear friends. Please tell me at once what I should do. Please lift me from this ocean of distress. Sri Parikshit said, Devaki was loving to hear his son and was a dear friend to Nanda's wife. She then said, You should give your best well wishers whatever they want. Then, fearing that the kingdom was about to be given away, old Padmavati, the Lord's grandmother, the queen of the Yadu king Ugrasena, gathered her muddled wits and cleverly feigned a joking spirit. To protect her husband's domain, she spoke up again. Even though Balaram's mother had snubbed her by ignoring her previous remarks. Invoking eloquence, Padmavati tried to change the mood, to bring Krishna, the exclusive shelter of the Yadu dynasty, back to normal. Padmavati said, "Krishna, why should you lament? Just listen to my advice. While you were living 11 years in the home of Nandagopa, you and Balaram enjoyed various comforts. For that I swear, my husband will repay Nanda twice over. My husband will see to it that Garga Muni calculates the amount even to the smallest fraction and delivers it by his own hand. And if Nanda owes you payment for tending his cows, let him pay you or not as he wishes." Sri Parikshit then said, "Although the personality of Godhead must have heard these words, he pretended he had not. Driven by sorrow, he then inquired from Uddhava as though ignorant, 'O best of learned scholars, Uddhava, you know all the thoughts of the residents of Braja. Please tell me without delay, what is it they desire?'" Sri Parikshit said, "Having heard these words from the Lord, the despondent Uddhava was taken aback. He sighed briefly and then answered, full of remorse. Uddhava said, 'The people of Raja don't want from you the power and wealth of emperors, nor do they want the enjoyments found in heaven, nor anything else obtainable in this world or the next. The residents of Vrindavan desire nothing else but you. Kindly favor me with your attention. Think over what I am about to say, and then act as you see fit.'" Before, when the cowherders met Nanda and saw the jewels and other gifts you had sent with Nanda, they spoke with one another, all of them immersed in an ocean of grief. 'Oh, how very painful! Krishna now thinks we want such presents from him and that we deserve this kind of mercy. Therefore, damn our lives and the breath that still moves in our throats, and damn Nanda and the cowherder men. They should have left these things behind and instead brought back Krishna himself.'" Thus, the residents of Raja, including your mother Yashoda, gave up all hope of your return. Already dead, they now refuse to eat at all. Nanda felt like someone who has committed a great offense, and for 3 days he was so utterly miserable, He couldn't say even a word. But then, to save the lives of the residents of Braja, Nanda induced the people to believe your departing words. With many ardent promises, Nanda skillfully used logic to prove your words true. In this way, he placated the Brajavasis. Nanda said, "Our son is an honest person who always speaks the truth. He has first sent us these things as tokens of his love. He is sure to come back to us quickly, as soon as he finishes what he has to do in Mathura." Uddhava continued to speak. "The residents of Braja are all simple-hearted people. They trusted Nanda's words. Thinking about your loving affection, they accepted jewelry and they put it on their bodies. They thought, 'Oh, when Sri Krishna returns, he will see how we have followed his order by accepting these remnants of his enjoyment. Then he will show us special mercy.' But Krishna, you never returned, you never came. Instead, you sent me. And when the residents of Vrindavan heard the message you had sent with me, they almost died out of disappointment. Seeing them so despondent, I made every effort to keep them alive by promising you would surely come back. But then I returned here. To attain you, these devotees then renounced all enjoyment of the senses and all material shelter. Please ask your elder brother Balaram here what state they are in." Sri Parikshit continued, "From dread of the great pain of separation from Krishna, the faces of the ladies like Devaki and Rukmini were pale, downcast, and full of tears. Looking at those women affectionately, gentle-hearted Krishna quickly gestured for an inkpot and paper. Krishna meant to strengthen the faith of his Vraja devotees by sending them a letter filled with loving sentiments and written by his own hand. My dear friends, please know that as soon as I settle the duties before me and satisfy my relatives here, I will return in no time. I will be there." Sri Parikshit continued, "Uddhava surmised what Krishna was about to do, and therefore he was greatly distressed. Knowing the inner hearts of the Vrajavasis, Uddhava cried and begged Krishna to reconsider his plans. Uddhava then said, 'O Master, please turn your attention to this. Unless your two lotus feet make a blessed journey to Braja, there is no way to assure that your people of Braja will survive. Those people want nothing but your lotus feet.' Sri Parikshit said, 'The befuddled mother of Kamsa laughed at this, shook her head, and burst out. Ah, ha, ha, ha! Foolish Devaki, now I understand. I understand everything. With the help of your Uddhava, whom the cowherders have long controlled by gifts of milk goods. Those cowherders want to bring Krishna back to the forest. In that dangerous forest, hard to travel and full of thorns and vicious beasts, those good-for-nothings want to make him tend their cows. Sri Parikshit said, Balaram's mother, Rohini, Yashoda's dear friend, could not tolerate hearing these insults. Angrily, she replied, Indeed, dear mother of Kamsa, will they just engage him in caring for cows? Unless the devotees see him, they cannot stay alive for a single moment. O virtuous lady, if trees or other obstacles block Krishna from sight even briefly, his companions at once shed tears and call in anxious, drown-out voices. Sri Krishna, Krishna! For those who live in Vraja, daytime is like the black night at the end of the universe, and the blink of an eye is like a millennium. In such a state, they look at the sun and the trails of dust on the road again and again, and they listen for the sound of the flute. Every day Krishna takes his older brother Balaram with him and goes out into the forests, eager to enjoy with his herds of cows and wander about in the company of his many friends. In those forests are lakes with sparkling water, where Kamala and Utpala lotuses spread their fragrance. The lotuses tremble from the movements of swarms of bees, stirred up by rows of excited water birds. And in those forests flow the river Yamuna, who is the dearmost companion of the land of Raj. The picturesque splendor of that river, the daughter of Kalinda, astonishes the mind. And besides her, Vrajabhumi glistens with other rivers, the offspring of hills like the Vindhyas. The beautiful shores of those rivers are always heaped with soft sand and covered by newly grown grass. To those shores come many different kinds of charming animals and birds who put their natural enmity aside. Trees, vines, and creepers further decorate the shores, bowing down with the weight of splendid flowers, fruits, and leaves. The shores resound with the calls of maddened peacocks and cuckoos. And those shores receive praise even from Lord Brahma. Vrindavan Forest, Govardhan Hill, and the whole area of Raja are free from violence and theft, so one need not bother to watch one's cows. The cows simply go out into the forest in the morning with the other domestic animals, like the buffaloes, and they eat grass and drink water as they like. Then, in the evening, they come home. Elderly Padmavati then said, You child, you are too free with your words. If what you say is true, then why do we hear that the cows and other animals in Vraja are now in danger of dying because no one is taking care of them? Sri Parikshit then said, Having heard all this, the blessed Lord Gopal felt overwrought with worry for his devotees. Scorching anxiety dried up his lotus face. He was filled with dread. He glanced at the face of Baladev, who knew all the tidings of Raja, both past and present, and saw that it was covered with tears. Baladev, the son of Rohini, was unable to keep his composure. Remembering Vraja and understanding his brother's mood, he began crying without control. But then he managed to speak distinctly. Sri Baladev said, "Why speak only about the cows, dear Krishna? All the animals in Vraja are your beloved friends, and so also are the birds and the trees like the Bandira and Kadamba. The grass, the creepers, the lush bushes have all dedicated their lives to you. Now they are all wasting away, and so too are the rivers and mountains. Some of the people, dear brother, live only on the hope that your promises were true. Better you not ask to hear more news than this. I can only tell you that if you don't show your kindness to them soon, Yamaraj will show them his. That you rid Kaliya's lake of its poison has only greatened their misery. And now please hear of still another reason for their sorrow. In Vraja, the river Yamuna has turned so dry, she has hardly any water. And Govardhan, who, when you held him up, touched heaven, has now become short. The devotees who relish the nectar of your names cannot die of starvation. Instead, their end will come in a fire in a great dry forest." Sri Parikshit said, "Having heard this, Krishna, who is gentle by nature and tormented by the sufferings of others, grasped Balaram by the neck and shed a flood of tears like a person whose life is in ruin. As he cried with loud sobs in his beautiful voice, the tears washed away the cosmetics from his body. Oh, my dear mother, Krishna and Balaram then rolled on the ground and for a moment lost consciousness. Seeing the two lords crying in this unprecedented lamentable state, all the residents of the inner palace lost control of themselves. Rohini, Uddhava, Devaki, Rukmini, Satyabhama, all the rest, they all lost control and sobbed again and again. When the Yadus heard the sound of distressed crying coming from within the inner palace, a sound never heard there before, they quickly came running, headed by Vasudev and Ugrasena. The Brahmins then arrived, led by Gargamuni, along with all the other people of the city. And when they saw their beloved master in this extraordinary state, as they had never had before, they too began to cry, overwhelmed.